Despite the best intentions of diversity hiring goals, if employers continue to exclude applicants impacted by the justice system, our workforce will never reflect our population. According to the November 2020 data, nearly 6.8 million Americans who said they want a job but don't have one aren't considered a part of the labor force. This means that 39% of people who aren't working aren't part of the labor force. When you include these people, the unemployment rate jumps from 6.7% to 10.0%. December 15, 2020. We're talking business, not charity. Prisoners face many barriers when they leave prison. Employers are reluctant to hire ex-cons. Only 12.5% of employers will accept an application from a former prisoner. Housing, too, can be difficult to find, as some public housing and housing vouchers are off-limits. Parole restrictions can limit where they're allowed to live, and many landlords are wary of renting to former prisoners. Second chance or fair chance hiring, the employment of people with records, is a business proposition, not charity. Those companies that have invested in this talent pipeline have found that such hires are highly engaged and loyal, a recipe for productivity and the cost savings associated with low employee turnover. Successful companies build processes that identify which applicants are ready for employment and provide the support so that these workers can succeed. This is an investment, but one with a high return. Without this specific approach, many employers have only had negative experiences with hiring from this pool. Even without a patient central bank, employers may soon learn that decades of declining birth rates in the U.S., the continued retirement of the baby boomers, and the skill and geography mismatches created by the disruptions of the pandemic will create a shortage of workers much sooner than expected. The Fed's new monetary framework ensures that tight labor markets will persist for years, requiring corporate leaders who can attract, retain, and develop talent wherever it is found. The population of people with criminal records is simply too large to be ignored. If the Fed's new monetary policy fails to bring workers back to the labor market, it risks inflation, tight labor markets that disrupt business growth, as wage gains outstrip productivity growth. If the business community can recognize the Fed's new framework as an opportunity to make the long-term investment needed for marginalized workers to flourish, we will all win. Second chance hiring is the path not only to greater prosperity, but to reduce racial disparities, safer communities, and breaking the bonds of intergenerational poverty. The barriers prisoners face post-incarceration are huge. They don't have the option to work harder for success because they can't work, they can't find housing, and they don't have the skills to navigate the society they are released into. They have no access to the American dream. Our system punishes them even after they've paid the debt of their sentence. For others, there is the danger of falling into old habits and renewing old acquaintances. And for many, the lack of any kind of mentoring or support system can result in a return to criminal behavior. Perhaps the biggest hurdle for most ex-prisoners is the challenge to finding long-term employment. Without it, lodging is hard to obtain, and the pressure increases to use illegal means of support. A recent story in the New York Times looks at some of the underlying reasons why it is so hard for former prisoners to procure jobs. A primary reason has to do with the background checks being performed by potential employers. To be sure, employers can and should practice due diligence when hiring workers. To not do so, considering all the information that is readily available, is negligent at best, and can open the employer to legal action should the new hire return to his or her criminal ways. But relying on these background checks alone can be highly prejudicial, and can serve to further a destructive cycle of the behavior of which the potential hire is struggling to leave. For starters, many of the methods used to examine potential employees are highly suspect. In some cases, databases used for running background checks might not differentiate between arrests and convictions, resulting in a much higher number of individuals being identified. Following the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001, a law was passed requiring that those individuals convicted of a felony within the last 7 years be denied employment at American ports, which ended up excluding 59,000 people. Some 30,000 individuals filed an appeal challenging that they had been so convicted, and in nearly 25,000 cases, the Government Accountability Office found the reports to be inaccurate. That at least 42% of those individuals identified by background checks were wrong should at least call into question the validity of some of the research methods being used. There is also the matter of how the data collected by employers is being used. In some cases, employers only asked about certain felonies such as sexual assault or violent crimes. In other cases, any arrest served as a reason to not hire a candidate. We haven't really figured out what a disqualifying offense should be for particular activities, says sociologist Christopher Ugin. In many areas of the country, aspiring employees with criminal records are still required to self-identify as such on their job applications, a practice that affords employers the chance to dismiss those applicants before the review practice even begins. In response, a number of states, counties, and municipalities have adopted Ban the Box and Fair Chance legislation, which typically requires employers to wait until the initial stages of the hiring process have been completed before initiating background examinations. However, there are typically a number of exemptions and laws vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Additionally, even those employers who wait until the initial stages have been completed will dismiss an otherwise perfect candidate for the position and hire a candidate not as skilled or qualified based on the background. Ban the Box is not working. The hurdles that ex-prisoners face in obtaining employment sometimes serve to push these men and women back into a life of crime. You keep doing the things that get you the money because you can't get other jobs, Gregory Payne tells The Times. Payne has been to prison a total of 4 times for selling drugs. Although he says he hasn't used or sold drugs in 7 years, Payne continues to struggle to find a job. Your record hurts you, man, he says. In certain cases, I understand. They got a right to say no if you're stealing and robbing people. I wouldn't hire you myself. But people who went up for drugs? But the ex-prisoners aren't the only ones who suffer from the increased scrutiny. With an increasing percentage of the population has spent time in prison, there has been a drain on the national workforce. The result has been higher rates of unemployment, and the lost opportunity cost of employing capable workers because of their criminal records. Prior to the prison boom, when convictions were restricted to a smaller fraction of the population, it wasn't great for their rehab potential, but it wasn't having a huge impact, says Harvard sociology professor Deva Prager. Now such a large fraction of the population is affected that it has really significant implications, not just for those people, but for the labor market as a whole. With few resources for reintegration and many barriers to employment and housing, prisoners often turn back to crime, contributing to high recidivism. In the U.S., 67.8% of ex-offenders are rearrested within 3 years and 76.6% within 5 years. Recidivism can cost states a lot of money. In 2017, each reconviction cost Illinois $151,662. In Utah, 46% of inmates return to jail within 3 years. Limited statistics on the cost of reconvictions make it hard to know the dollars we spend on recidivism, but we do know that prosecuting and housing prisoners is expensive. Providing ex-prisoners with support, encouragement, and opportunity gives them the best chance to become productive members of society. Prison Fellowship, with in-prison training and mentoring, provides those preparing to leave prison with the tools needed to succeed outside the prison walls. And, with the help of bridge churches, these men and women are supported and encouraged, helping them to meet their basic needs and, in some cases, find employment. To find out how you can help be a part of this transformation, visit our Get Involved pages.